He said
that my sheep will do what? They hear my voice and they do what? They follow me. So if you are one of Jesus's brethren, you will follow him to where he goes. Amen. There are many churches today, Jesus is not there. There are many end time groups. Jesus is not there. So make up your mind to go to where Jesus is. Because wherever he is, oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
There is feasting.
Oh,
there is dancing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is life.
Oh,
praise God.
Hallelujah.
So at the wedding, he was invited. So also you are invited. Amen. And he said that when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, the mother of Jesus represents the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she was able to discern and to say that there is no more wine. On the third day, what will characterize the third day is that groups will run out of wine. Church organizations will run out of wine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going to look at why it is so and what the wine represents. Many churches today are running out of wine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they said to Jesus, and what did Jesus say to her? He said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Now, please, can you give me King James Version? Hallelujah. Let me have King James Version, the first one. Yes. So he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Hallelujah. Are you with me, brethren? Let me tell you something. The role and the function of the woman has a time that is going to work. Yes, it is enough. She understands that the church has run out of wine. But her ministry had a time issue. There is a time limit to which the church can function. And when that time, all that she is doing is to prepare the people for something. So while this whole conference and all the church activities and all our Sunday meetings and when last, better make use of it. Because a time comes when she can no longer function. Are you with me, brethren? Your church meetings better make good benefit. That's why he says that do not forsake.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because a time is coming when it will cease. This church thing one day will end. And it's going to be handed over. That role will be handed over to someone. That was why Jesus told her. He said, woman, what have I got to do with this? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, my hour has not come. The hour of Jesus is coming. And that hour, I can tell you when it is. Immediately after midnight. At the midnight hour, there will be a handing over. And he will begin to function. He will be on 100% control. he is not in total control. Right now, men are in control. But after midnight, he's going to manifest. And we're going to talk about it. So make use of all the benefits that the woman is giving to you. All the functions right now of the church. All the ministries. All the callings. Make sure you make optimum use of it. Do not look down on it. Because that is what is going to usher you into that which he has in mind. Many of us are playing down on our meetings. When there is a call for a meeting, some of us, you know, we put it aside and we attend other businesses. A time is coming when you will look for it, you will not find. Because at midnight, the game will change. You will look for this fellowship and you will never find it. You will look for brethren and you will never find it. Even the worst of your enemies, you will wish that you have fellowship with him. But I tell you, time is over. There is no more time. Amen. So I'm encouraging you. Make use of what God is giving you now. Because that is what is going to help you and I. When the time of handover comes, hallelujah, we'll be part of it. Because this whole arrangement is going to change. This whole pattern is going to change. And it's going to usher in something new. And I want to be part of that which is new. I want to be part of that which he's going to hand over to. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, woman, what have I got to do with you? He said, my hour has not come. Oh, his hour is coming. The hour is coming. The hour is coming. And that is why I live my life every day. To wait for that hour. To be part of that hour. Amen. That's why man is able to suffer all the afflictions and the tribulations and the pain so that we can be partakers of that hour. Hallelujah. He says that a man wants to be a partaker of that hour. He discovered a portion of land. And in that portion of land is hidden a pearl. You know what he did? He went and sold it. So that he will. Is it sold or bought it now? He sold all he had to buy that land. Where the pearl is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You cannot be part of this hour if you don't sell everything to get it. If you don't give up everything you have, you cannot be partaker of this. Hallelujah. Amen. But look at what happened. His mother said unto the servants, he said, whatsoever he said unto you, do what? Do it. Do you know what she did? Do you know the implication of that? He said, listen, I wash my hand off. I have fulfilled my role. I have done my work. Listen, whatsoever he tells you, what do what? Do it. Hallelujah. That is why I said that the duty of this woman comes and it stops. There is a limit to which she can go. She will fulfill her function. She will do all that God tells her to do in this moment. But as time comes, she will hand over to the man. Hallelujah. She will tell the rest of them, say, listen, whatever he tells you to do, do it. What he was talking about, 100% obedience. Whatever he tells you, you better do it. I have done my job. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That is what Jesus, that is what the woman is saying right now. Hallelujah. We are not going to go into more details, but listen. There is something he said in verse 6. He said, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone. You know, 6 speaks of what? Man, humanity. Is it not so? And he said 6 of them are set. Hallelujah. Amen. And they are made of stone. And you know what stone represents? In 1 Peter, he says something about lively stones. Amen. So stones on its ordinary form also speaks of man. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But lively stones means that life has been added to that stone. In other words, there are also deadly stones. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or put, breaking it down, it means that you also have carnal stone. And 6 water pots of stone. Will suggest to me that these are carnal stones. And that represents you and I. He says that these water pots, they are empty. They are carnal. They speak of man. They speak of your flesh. Then he says, there is one thing you can do. That on this third day, you are going to fill it with water. And water speaks of what? It speaks about the word of God. There are 2 components that are found during the wedding feast. There are 2 essential things that you can find in a wedding feast. For any wedding to be any wedding, these 2 things must be found. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I have heard some people say that, listen, if you come to my wedding, even if not whatever I give you, make you take drink. Is it not so? That is the least you can give anybody. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If you come to my wedding and you drink only water, and you go home, and you begin to grumble, that one concerns you. The wedding has taken place. And because you drank water, you are a witness. Amen. It concerns you. Hallelujah. If you like, go and use it to gossip. That is your business. Because water is very, very symbolic. Water is very, very important. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even when I come to your house, even your worst enemy, in fact, to show that the man is your enemy, he will not drink water in your house. Is it not so? Then when he comes, even when I give him water, he no great drink.
Amen.
I'm trying to paint a picture of the importance of water here. So the first thing they requested was that, look at these 6 water pots. Fill it up with water. I'm very, very sure they never expected what was going to happen. In fact, they were getting ready to serve water, is it not so?
Amen.
They were ready to serve water. Because anyone that came to this wedding who did not drink water is likely to go home talking. They say, well, the wine ran out, so anyway, he gave us water to drink. Hallelujah. Amen. God is demanding for water in this water pot. And Jesus is given, he's given the instruction. He says that this water pot, fill them up with water. If you want to be a partaker of this third day wedding feast, he says that this water pot must be filled with water. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that is the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There must be water in the water pots. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if the water is not there, there is nothing that he can do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because it, as the third day culminates into midnight, there is nothing he can do if there is no water in the water pot. Because his expectation is that on the third day, as the third day comes to the climax, hallelujah, the content in the water pot is going to bring deliverance to whoever is at the wedding feast. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Am I losing you? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we following? Because I'm putting something, two things side by side. Talking about what happened that day at Cana of Galilee, I'm bringing out their spiritual importance and bringing about their symbolism out. Hallelujah. So if there is no water in the water pot, you are going to face serious problem on the third day. Hallelujah. So the encouragement is that do everything you can. The instruction she has given is that whatever he tells you, do it. And here he was telling them, he said, listen, these six water pots, fill it up with water. He says that this humanity called Isaac must be filled with water. If not, Isaac is going to face serious problem at the climax of the third day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is where we are. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Just come with me. Let's look at the scripture.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So let's go back to that, John, because we have a lot to cover. So they set the six water pots after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Hallelujah. You know one thing, he wasn't quite interested in the Jewish traditional religious patterns. Anyway, they did it. That is the level they understood. But all the same, it is very, very important to purify yourself. It's very, very important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see, what purifies a man is the word that he has. Is the water that comes in. I think he said something. He said, sanctify them through thy word. For thy word is what? Truth.
Hallelujah.
They didn't know. They thought it was religion. Let us do it the way we used to. There are many end time saints who are still very, very religious. Oh, this is the way we used to do it. This is the way we must do it. This is the way we must go. That and that is what we must do. But I can tell you that God has a shortcut. The shortcut is getting the word right inside of your system. Because the word has the ability to purify you and to cleanse you. He said, by the washing water of the what? Of the word. Hallelujah. Get the word into your system. Hallelujah. Amen. That is on one hand. You know the way God works? He can only work with what you have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 He told one man somewhere, he said, what is in your hand? Is it not so? Hallelujah. God was working with what the man had. He had a rod in his hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God can only work with the level of the word that you have. The level of the word you have is what is going to place you to where you should belong in God. Another place, he said that where a tree falleth. Nadia, where you go, Tanda? Amen. It's the level of the word you have. But his instruction is say, fill the water. Fill the pot with water. Fill it. Till we all come to the fullness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is God's expectation for you. That is He's expecting from me. I must work every day and night. If you want to escape the things that are coming on the third day, get the word. Store the word. Chew the word. Do whatever you can to place this word right within your soul. That is where your deliverance lies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's what is inside that God is going to use. That is what is going to be converted into wine. Like I said, there are two things. Two things that are found on the wedding feast. For a feast to be a feast, there must be water. And there must be what? Wine. Some people can go home without eating food. Do you understand? But you must tell them that I'm celebrating today. Hallelujah. So two essential things, water and wine. It might not look so in the natural, but I'm telling you that in the spirit, that is what obtains. Amen.
Amen.
In the spirit, that is what happens. What God can recognize is water and wine. What He can see that will do the job for Him is water and wine. The indications that you belong to Him is water and wine. That is what He sees. Amen. Praise God. Now, when they did that, they poured the water. It was converted into wine. There was a miracle. There was a miracle. And the water they poured in changed into wine. We are going to hold it on there. Because we are trying to lay a foundation concerning the marriage feast. Because the marriage feast is very, very important. And I can tell you that this marriage feast is going on right now. Why? Because we are on the third day. And God wants us to be partakers of that marriage feast. And every one of us are invited to that marriage feast. What you make of the invitation is entirely up to you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Amen.
Amen.
Say, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we together? Amen.
Amen.
He said that the kingdom of God is like a king, a certain king who made a marriage feast or a marriage for his son. That is the indication of the kingdom of heaven. That in this kingdom of heaven there are marriages going on. In this particular case, there is one. And it was made for his son. In other words, his son is the bride. His son is what? The bridegroom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 His son is the bridegroom. So he has made a wedding feast for his son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know you know who the king is. I also know you know who his son is. Now I ask you, who is the bride? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now your mouth where you take the claim. Oh. Hallelujah. Nobody forced you. You say you are what the
right.
Oh. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are some other questions that will follow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we get there, we'll ask you the question. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as you quickly answered that I am the bride, quickly also answer to that one. Amen.
Amen.
And I can tell you something. This like sounds like an aside. It sounds like something that is not important. But let me tell you what happens in the spirit. Hallelujah. And that is why men should be very, very careful what they say. What they say in the presence of God. What they say in the congregations of the people of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 When what? Whatever prayer you pray, especially when you make an open declaration, God holds you accountable to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you say you are the bride, God this day is holding you accountable to it. All the liabilities and all the assets. Hallelujah. All the rights and the privileges of the bride will also be given to you. All the persecutions and the trials for the making of the bride will also come to you. All the troubles that come to the bride, because there are components of preparation for the bride. Sister, don't be so. Before a sister will get married, don't you people take her into the room, clean the sweat, make her look very beautiful? There is a preparation. Sometimes if her nail is too long, you cut the nails. Even though these days, these days, you know what happens. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
These days they don't prepare the bride for the bridegroom. They prepare the bride for the world. How will she look? Sometimes half naked. So that she will be fashionable. They should be preparing the bride for the bridegroom. But they don't prepare the bride. For the bridegroom, they prepare her to be appreciated by the world. Hallelujah. We are going to look at that today. You are in for serious matter today. Not trouble. Serious matter that will help you to begin to think again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are things that are used to prepare the bride. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that it will not be at midnight. The person that the bridegroom bargained for is not the one that is given to him. I don't know whether you understand. Are you following me, brethren? Because at midnight, some things happen. At least. At least Jacob experienced that, is it not true? Are you with me? In the morning, he discovered that the person that was given to him wasn't the one he has been working for many years for. Wasn't the one he has been traveling and working for. Another wife was given to him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Because certain things will happen at midnight. I'm not very sure that the church is prepared for it. Great surprise. But I can tell you something. This bridegroom knows his bride. Even the devil in hell cannot change it. He cannot give him what he has not been working for. He's going to get exactly what he has worked for. Because the bride must make herself ready. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this king was preparing a wedding feast for his son. And he worked very hard. Very, very hard. And he sent out people to invite people for this wedding feast. Now, let me also ask you. What is marriage? Hallelujah. What is union? What is union? You are using... Union did what? Ordained by God. What is union? The union, the one you have defined now, is a ceremony. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 That is a ceremony. What is union? Tell me, what is union?
Bring it two into one.
Bring, what is that two? What is the two? Man and wife. What is the man and wife?
Man and wife coming into the church and Christ.
That way you are sounding too distant. End time. Man and wife coming into agreement. That is only the function of what a man and wife should do. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. Hallelujah. Because I'm waiting for someone to quote somewhere for me. In Genesis, he said, man and woman. Complete it for me now. I've given you the clue. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Okay, he said, bone of my bone, right? And flesh of my flesh, right? Amen. When he made man, he said, after making man, he became what? Man became what? He became a living soul. Hallelujah. Are you getting it now?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, after making man, what did he do again to make the woman? Was the man standing and looking at him, and then he came and pulled out? Amen. Into deep sleep. Oh, God bless you. And he took out something, is it not so? Hallelujah. That which he took out, what was it? No. I know it's the rib. He took the part of man. Is it not so? Hallelujah. In other words, after he did that, man became an extension of the soul. The woman became an extension of the soul of man. Are we following?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you have two souls here now together. I'm painting a picture so that you understand it. So the union is coming together of two souls. So we are dealing with soul business. Marriage is a soul business. Hallelujah. It's a soul business. It is not. Yes, the physical union, the conjugal union is important. But what is more important to God is the coming together of two souls. Hallelujah. Are you with me? The coming together of two souls. The soul of the bridegroom and the soul of the bride. And I can tell you that the soul of the bride will not be qualified to be part of the soul of the bridegroom if certain things are not done. If there are no dealings and preparations that will make the bride fit to be one with the bridegroom, there are certain things that must be done. Now, I can tell you also something, that the whole duty of the church is to prepare the church for the wedding feast. Hallelujah. For the wedding that is coming. The whole responsibility of the church is to make sure that the bride is prepared. That was why she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. The dealings, the whole ministry, the whole function of the church is to prepare the bride so that she be qualified to be married to the bridegroom. That is the whole responsibility of the church. And if the church is not doing that, oh, sorry for you. Hallelujah. Look for somewhere else. If where you belong is not preparing you to become, if it's not preparing you to be ready for the bridegroom, better change venue. I think I'm speaking to someone today. Hallelujah. If it's not working, if whenever time you come, it's politics. Hallelujah. And there is nothing of the spirit that is coming. You better change location. Hallelujah. Go to where you'll be prepared. Because whatever happens to you that day is no man's business. He says that you did wrong and you did wrong well. Who did hinder you? Some of us go to where there is large congregation and there is absolute emptiness. Some of us go to where there are hierarchies so that you can say, my pastor told me. Some of us go to places where they say this and say that. Some of us go to where they say it happens. There is miracle there. Hallelujah. That in this your end time, is there a miracle? In this your end time, do they fall, touch hand on somebody and blow breeze and he falls under the anointing? You people don't have power. So I go to where there is power. Hallelujah. Amen. If they are not preparing you for the bridegroom, my dear, better change your location. Some of us are afraid what they will say. If I leave that place now, what will they say? At midnight, whatever happens, you're on your own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why you need to prepare yourself now. Amen. So that is what marriage is all about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is going to be a celebration.
Amen.
Amen. But that time hasn't come yet. We are going to see it in the scripture. There is going to be a celebration. But right now, it's not yet there. So forget it. When they say celebration service, what are you celebrating? When the bride is not prepared, what are you celebrating? When the bride should be mourning, crying for the devastation that is right within her soul. Let me tell you something. It's very, very clear what is going to be done or what the bride should be doing. Because those are the expectations of the bridegroom. The bridegroom is expecting that four things are done in the life of the bride. That in this thing called her soul, that four things be done. There are areas of dealing that must come upon the bride. There must be areas of preparation that must go on in the life of the bride. One of them is that you must work hard to do something about her mind. You must do something about her desire. You must do something about her will. I must do something about her emotion. Amen. These four components must be the areas of concentration for the bride to be made ready for the bridegroom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As you all know, the bridegroom is perfect. Is it not so? Are you with me? The bridegroom is perfect. In all these areas, the bridegroom was tempted and tried, and he never failed. 100% perfect. There was no sin found in him. And he is saying that his qualification for his bride, that his bride must be like him. His bride must look like him. His bride must have his kind of mind. His bride must have his kind of emotion. In other words, his bride must feel the way he feels. His bride must think the way he thinks. His bride must desire the things he desires. His bride must be motivated by the way he is motivated. So the areas of concentration of the bride, the responsibility he leaves to you and I today, to make us qualify to be like him, is that we must work on these four areas. Hallelujah. And that is the essence of the word that you receive. That's the essence of the water that must get into the water pot. Because that water is supposed to be doing this work. Changing you. Changing you. Transforming you. Hallelujah. Can I get the scripture? Little by little, he's changing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Precept upon precept. Hallelujah. Amen. He's changing me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the implication also is that when you come to this place, and the water is being poured into the water pot, and it's not changing you. You have heard the word like water on the dog's back. It's like when they pour water on the dog's back. Everything pour on the ground. If the water of the word you are receiving, when they pour it on top of you, instead of going into the water pots, it goes to the ground. Something else needs to be done to you. A different type of operation must take place. The Bible calls it circumcision of the heart.
In
simple terms, you need to be born again. Because there is no how we come under this roof. And the water of the world is being poured into the water pot. That is not bringing a change in this component area. It must affect something. It may not be visible to man, but a change is taking place. If you are not experiencing change, you are on a different platform altogether. You need help. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, what the bridegroom is expecting is that this area, these four areas, be affected. Be changed. Be transformed. That is what is going to make the bride ready for the bridegroom. Now, I want to tell you something, brethren. That these words, they are not human philosophies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are reality. So don't think that when Brother Chijoke comes and talks about tabernacle, talks about the soul, talk about that it is a theory. It is not a theory. It is a reality. If you are not experiencing change as a result of this word, I am receiving change. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying it to encourage you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was born and bred in Port Harcourt.
Amen.
You see, what you are seeing happening in Port Harcourt today are some of the things that we were part of or even started. The violence in Port Harcourt today. Hallelujah. We were part of it. In the 60s. Hallelujah. So when you hear 60, you say, but how old is Brother Isaac? Don't just guess. Because you will never get it. Hallelujah. Unless I tell you. Unless this man did something to my heifer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You will never know. So in the 60s, we used to dance what is called Agaba. Have you heard that? Hallelujah. It's an equivalent of Ekpo now, you know. You carry masquerade and all that. Praise God. During Christmas time. Hallelujah. So we have I belong to a particular group. Some of things we do those days in Agaba is that, you know, there's dancing. They use a metal gong. Amen. Just a group of young men. So there are those in a particular area, and there are those in another area. So if you know Port Harcourt very well, our own group is coming from Borukiri. The name of our group, because every location they have their own group. There are those in Dio, there are those in town, there are those in Borukiri. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So also the court groups today. There is the Borukiri, there is the Dio, there is the town. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I belong to the Borogiri axis. Our own name was called Kilamberi. And I was the leader. The leader is the man who carries the otumoko. You know what is otumoko now? The medicine man. He's the one leading the group. When when the other group comes, because there is going to be a fight. And the fight is that to show that you are very strong. You come like this, you set your leg. Very long cane. They will whip you. Maybe up to seven. On bare leg. Then when he has finished seven, he will throw the cane up. You catch it and you roll it. He will set for you. What?
Udian.
It must complete that seven that he flogged you.
Amen.
And sometimes we want to show who is stronger. The Agaba group is stronger. The strongest will go. And remove the masquerade head. If you take it, then you are the greatest. But to take that thing, blood must roll. Sometimes people are killed. And it develops into war. Real war. It means that if you take that thing and run away, and they didn't recover it, next year, you must go and fortify yourself. If not anywhere they hear that you people are, they are coming with knives and daggers. That was what was happening. I belong to that group those days. So I knew how to fight. For you to be a leader, you must know how to fight. And we thought that that was being strong. To the point that I don't know what it means to wrestle with anybody. Why should I wrestle with you? Immediately you provoke me, I go for bottle. I scatter your head. So you dare not.
Amen.
I was under that influence until I got born again. When I got born again, it was still there. Are you with me? It did not go away. A little thing, I started shaking with anger. Even while born again, I slapped some people. You just cross my, I will beat you up. Amen. But gradually it was diminishing.
Also,
what do you think was diminishing it? As you come under the word of God, He's diminishing it. And one day, I believe I will wake up.
Hallelujah.
And he says that it is like a dream. That someone can come and slap you 10 times. You're just looking at the man. You can't do anything. Rather, you start crying. Or you start laughing. Either of them is acceptable. Hallelujah. And what still he said? He said, okay, no, don't be angry. No, it's all right. No, I know it's my fault. Don't worry. It's okay. Sorry you slapped me, but it's okay. Amen. Why? Because the bridegroom, they came and they gave him a dirty slap. Power! And the Bible said that he was silent like sheep to the slaughter. Hallelujah. Amen! So I want to be like him. That when men slap me, I don't respond. It means that something had been done. Can anyone tell me where the work was done? My emotion has been dealt with. Anger is gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This thing has been slain, taken away. Hallelujah. So if the word you are getting does not translate to this, if it's not changing you from day to day, if it's not diminishing your appetite for sin, then something is wrong. Because I believe that no matter how a meeting or a fellowship goes from day to day, there is something that is being released from the throne of God that is diminishing my humanity, that is changing me from day to day, that is changing me from water to wine. There is something that is going taking place. There is a miracle that is taking place. Men are not seeing it, but God is at work in me. All he is doing is to prepare me for the bridegroom. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he is of a purer eye than to behold evil. The bridegroom cannot withstand, he cannot withstand any act of impurity in the bride. So daily, he prepares the word by the washing water of the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go back to this invitation. Because some people are being invited, but they are not taking it seriously. He said, and send forth his servants to call them that we are bidding to the wedding, and they will not come. Many have been called for this wedding. Many invitations have gone forth. Hallelujah. Amen. And some has refused to come because it doesn't fit in into their political covering. Hallelujah. It doesn't fall into their political circle. Never mind. Hallelujah. There's no problem. Hallelujah. Rather, you know what they are doing? It's there in the scripture. The people who were invited, they refused to come. And even the people they sent to them to invite them, they take them and they begin to beat them up. They begin to say words. I don't know whether you know there are words you will speak. They are better. They are better that you slap, you flog the person than that man to hear that word. They are more painful than flogging. Hallelujah. So they take the servants of God that invited them out of a pure heart, and they begin to flog them. They began to beat them up. The people went back and reported to the king. And I'm telling you, don't let anyone report it to the king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let your stubbornness and my stubbornness, let my carnality or your carnality make someone to report it to the king. Are you with me, brethren? You don't understand what I've just said. Do you understand it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Don't let your foolishness or my foolishness to make one son of God report you to the king. Say, Father, you see what this son is doing to me? You see how much this son is beating me up? You see how much the things he's saying to me? Oh, my Father, would you not visit this your son that is beating me up? Don't let anyone pray that type of prayer for you. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just make quick and make sure you make peace with every man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I leave it there because it's a prophetic word. May God help you to understand it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there are certain things we do to one another, and we are so mindless, and we are so careless, and we are so callous, And we don't know that we're hurting one brother. And he's there crying. Don't just let him open his mouth and say, Father, see what brother Uduak is doing to me. Please, judge this matter. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know the word is for somebody here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you who is crying out to God, make sure you have a heart of love. Make sure there is compassion in your heart. Hallelujah. Make sure you say, God, please. Do not destroy him, but have mercy upon him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidding, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. He says all things are ready. All the provisions have been made. The things that will help you to come into that marriage have been prepared. He has prepared all things for you to make you to come into a place of union with the bridegroom. He said they are all set. Everything is set. But you know what? The next thing they did was in verse 5. He said that, but they made light of it. Number one, they made light of it. I have been in a fellowship where they say this is not people self. I'm not talking about somebody. I'm talking about end time people. Tabernacle every time. Tabernacle every time. Is that all that is in the Bible? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then another one they say every time deep revelation. Deep. Then they say, you share, I share every time, sharing. Somebody must be in charge. They make light of those things that we do. Those things that God is revealing to us. They make light of it. They jest with it. They mock us with it. Hallelujah. And if there is any misfortune, they say, you see, why didn't that their tabernacle save them? They make light of it. He is inviting us. He is inviting you. He said, come unto the wedding feast. Let many make light of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
They make light of the man he has sent to bring the message. They mock them. Brother O.S. Every time. Are you the only one in this fellowship? Other people should share now. We reject everything about man. That type of prayer is making reference to Brother O.S. They are saying about him, it's only him all the time. That whatever he's bringing is made of man. They make light of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you make light of the things of God? Do you make light of the vessels and the instruments he's using? The Bible says that that them that minister to you should be held in what? In what? Talk now if you are talking. Are you afraid?
High esteem.
In fact, it's on that place that they are up of what? Double what? Honor. That you begin to run them down. That's an indication you are not part of the bride. Hallelujah. So they made light of it and went their ways. Men are doing their own thing, running their own business, running the church of God as if it's their personal business, doing whatever thing they like. They went their way. He said, one to his farm, Some people, you know, and I can tell you, I was sharing with some brethren this morning, the economy of this nation, hallelujah, let me not say the details of what I am feeling, it's going to get darker and darker, brethren. It's not going to get any better. The economy of the world is not going to get any better.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, brother, I'm sure you people don't watch news here. But let me tell you what is happening. There's a country called Venezuela. Know me their name. Venezuelans are crossing over to Colombia to go and beg for food. That is a country. People are crossing borders. Are crossing over to go and beg for food in another country. Coming back into Colombia. In fact, it has gotten so much that Venezuelans have put in their border, they don't want them to come again. That tells you how bad it's going to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You better start doing something, no? In your backyard, begin to plant something. No? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Begin to do fish pond in your backyard. A little poultry here and there. A little planting of tomatoes and pepper behind. Don't have the aim of going to sell. But have the aim of sustaining yourself first of all. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
That is by the side. But these men, they all went out in the farm. In other words, one of the reasons that will push the people of God away is the economic crunch that will come. It will make many believers to lose their focus. The economy will be so bad that they will begin to, that is their concentration now. They will say that this is about end time, sons of God, this man time is not working out. Let me do something to sustain me and my family. Hallelujah. So some of them went to their farm. Some of them also went to merchandise. Business. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, those are the things that will characterize the times. Because the economy will be very, very bad. Hallelujah. Our leaders, no longer, they don't even have the answers anymore. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Many states, civil servants are being paid half salary. Hallelujah. Some of them, they haven't paid them for the past 5 months. Imo State, half salary.
No, she's 3 days and we found out. She said she worked 3 days and then farm for 2 days.
Yes, he said, okay. Work 3 days, farm for 2 days. Hallelujah. Now, I think that this type of meeting also prepares the prophetic platform for you to hear what God is saying. And I can tell you with my eyes open. The concentration is going to be on the economy. It's not going to get any better. I have said it in the closest. In my closest, I have said it to my wife. I've said it to close friends and I say it openly. Now get me right, I don't wish that it gets bad, but there is nothing I can do about it. If that is what God has determined as part of the indices for the end time, as part of what is going to happen before midnight of the third day, then I don't necessarily have any control. God is saying that the economy will come to a crunch. And I say, from the feeling I have, watch my word, if your economy sustains until end of December, then it will survive 2017. Hallelujah. Because the global economy is at work. What is happening to Nigeria is happening all over the world. The other day, out of confusion, the devil of confusion came into Britain and confused the people. I said, it's a demon of confusion. They put it to a vote. Should we remain in EU or should we get out? Confusion came. Some of them say out. Majority say out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the time they finished voting the following day, some of them said, we don't even know why we voted out. Too late. They said, we don't know even why we voted out. No, we should remain. It's too late. Today they are in trouble. Trying everything, trying to go back, trying to liaise, trying to lobby, trying to talk to Germany, trying to talk to France. But I tell you, it's too late. Whatever it is, they will live with it. Hallelujah. But then that is the way it is. Our leaders, maybe we'll pray for them. Maybe not. Many of them are confused. They don't know what to do again about your economy. There is a big force that is controlling the economy, and they are in charge. Hallelujah. I don't want to. The church will not be involved in their politics. But what he's saying is that while there was light, where there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Hallelujah. God will deliver his own. And God will provide for his own. So I don't have any cause to be afraid. Because I know that whatever he is doing, he is doing it to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. Whatever economic hardship you experience, God is using it to prepare you as an individual for the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So famine and merchandise represent the economic excuses that men are given not to respond to the call of God in this hour. Hallelujah. Go with me to verse 7. It says, And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. You know, some of us are caught in the crossfire between what the enemy is doing in this hour. Why? Because right within our soul, we have rejected God. I don't believe that with all the robbery going on, with all the kidnapping, that those under this roof or elsewhere, or the how many thousands that have not bowed their knees to Baal, I don't believe that they will be kidnapped. Hallelujah. I don't believe, and you better take it, that you can never be kidnapped. Neither will robbers break into your home. As long as whatsoever he tells you, you are doing it. That is the precursor. Are you doing whatever he tells you to do? Okay, I'm being led to tell you a few things that you are doing. Some of you, I will use you here. And pardon me, I'm not accusing you, but I'm only telling you. Or some of us here, okay, you are comfortable with that. Hallelujah. Some of us are holding back God's money.
I mean physical money. Hallelujah. And that is creating holes in our pockets. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, because we have imbibed a very false doctrine.
Oh,
we are end time. We are the church of God. So we don't preach money. Yes, we don't preach money. Because it's assumed that you understand that you should be part of those who build up the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And I'm not saying that your money is what gives you security. I'm not saying that. But it's in doing that which is in the heart of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Some of us don't bring. I'm not talking about tithes. I'm talking about offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 In the new order, we don't talk about tithes. Now let me say it very boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we'll talk about offering. Amen.
Amen.
You are sounding very strong now.
No.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I'll look at what Paul said. God is not depending on your one-tenth anymore. One-tenth as a tithe is only a schoolmaster.
Oh,
is it not what the scripture says? He says that the law is what? A school master. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, where he says about tenth, he's only telling you that he's only teaching you the basics of giving. When you come to the new covenant, that changes. It now says that if you sow sparingly, you will reap what?
Sparingly.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Not only that. He says about the woman that the woman gave out of the abundance of her what? Lack. In other words, they're talking about motive. And I think it's the same Corinthians. It says about if you give grudgingly, something about grudgingly, is it not so? Not grudgingly.
I don't know.
It says that after this one, it's just left for me and my son. After this one, when we eat finish, we'll die. The prophet had to tell her, he said, bring it. This one, now I had to force her. I said, bring it. I'm not forcing you. I'm not saying you should be forced. But I think that it was more of an encouragement.
Yeah.
In other words, in the new covenant, you don't give grudgingly, but you give out of the evil, not when you have many. Or when you have much. That is when you are, when it's comfortable to give, that is when you give. No. That one is not acceptable. You give out of your own necessity, out of your own provision of lack. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you give.
Amen.
That is what God is looking at. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
So money is also important. I say money because money represents your sweat and your blood. Out of your pain, out of your struggle, you go to the market, sun beats you, you sell okra and you come back. What God is expecting out of the profit you have made, you give to his people. You are giving your life. You are making a commitment that I lay down my life for my brethren. I'm putting it so that someone who is in lack will also be blessed. That is the essence of our giving in the New Testament. And nobody is going to come here and start and now have envelopes. And brother, you this name is on one. And my brother's name is on another one. At the end of the service, we open it. And nothing is there. He said, bro, you what is going on? You mean they haven't paid you last month's salary? What is going on? Give now so that we can pray for you. Hallelujah. And somebody start monitoring how much you are given. It is not allowed in the new order.
Amen.
Or they come and tell you, bro, okay, you said something about that contract. It's worth 100 million, right? That government is about to give you. If you truly want that contract, you know what you will do? Bring the 10% of that first before you get that contract. In other words, give the tithe of 100 million. Bring 10 million first. It's not allowed.
Though.
Anyone who is telling you that is completely out of order.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What we're saying is that when you do what he has told you to do, he goes and he closes every loophole the enemy will open to use to attack you. Some of us are attacked with sicknesses and diseases because of the things we speak about the body of Christ, because of our attitude towards the people of God, because of the way we run down the people of God. That is why the body has cancer today. That is why we have diabetes. That is why we have high blood pressure. Because many of us are using our mouth to open up a very big hole that the enemy is taking advantage of to attack the people. Amen.
Amen.
And it is our prayer today that by prophetic word, those openings will be covered. And the people of God are no longer attacked.
Amen.
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 You see, the things that are going on right now, on this third day, it will build up. Build up unto midnight. But I can tell you, hallelujah, they will come into your environment. They get into the house of your neighbor on the right hand side, and they cross your frontage. They go into the house of the next neighbor, and they will attack, and they will never see you. And even when someone says to them, ah, this house now will never enter. No, leave that house. I mean, don't they see that thing where they see there? You know they see that fire where they there? Praise God. Because the sons of God, the bride is making herself ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at where we are going now. Let's go to it. Verses 8 and 9. It says, then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which we are bidding were not worthy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The wedding is ready. The marriage is ready. But those it has been prepared for, they are not worthy. Hallelujah. He said, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to marriage. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the things that are required is that there must be a wedding garment. And that was why I said from the beginning, what is your motive? What is going on within your soul? What is going on? What is really going on? I'll give you an example of wedding garments. You come in here, you have a wrong attitude. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, you have a negative relationship with the people here. Because I'm bringing it down to the practical. Because here you have some offenses in your heart. It represents your wedding garment. It means that your wedding garment is not clean. It means your wedding garment is not pure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You have resentments.
Hallelujah.
Oh, they didn't do this to me. They didn't do that. Oh, the elders of this church did this or they did that. Oh, why are the church in Ikpe? Why are they not mingling with other groups? But anyway, let us attend now. Let us go now. You have to check your wedding garment and make sure that it's clean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will see the implication now. Maybe to begin. Okay, I think we need to go to another aspect. But I will tell you how what plays out at the end about the wedding garment. God's expectations of the wedding garment. But before then, there is another thing that qualifies the bride. That is going to help the bride to be happy, as it were. There is something that is expected of the bride that is very, very important, and it is an equivalent of what we have said, because the water and the wine are essential components that must be found during the wedding feast. Hallelujah. So go with me to Matthew chapter 25. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now at this point they have made a preparation, is it not so? Hallelujah. That was why I was saying, you better be careful when you say you are the bride. 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Hallelujah. And they were all bride. Is it not so? They were ready to go and meet the bridegroom. It is assumed they have made adequate arrangements. It is assumed they have come under preparation. They have undergone some tutelage that will help them be ready to meet the bridegroom. But I can tell you, some of them, their preparation was not good enough. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Some of them, their preparation was not good enough. What is at stake here has to do with oil. Five, hallelujah, and five. Is it not so? Five wise and five foolish. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So here, you know, I'm a teacher, so I want to show you graphically how it looks. Hallelujah. So we take another thing here that is common. What is common between two of them? What is common between two of them? Is it not so? Eh? Lamp was common with all of them, is it not so?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, five of them had oil in their lamps. The other five had oil also in their lamps, is it not so? And he says that five were what? Wise. And five were what? Foolish. What is the symbol of five? What does five represent?
Completeness.
Ministry.
Grace,
is it not? Okay. But let us take the let us narrow it down to ministry.
Okay, but yeah, so when you said you know,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Because sometimes when you talk about this, your grace, I amen, hallelujah. We say graces. Leave that matter alone. No. Five represent ministry. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Five represent grace, no doubt. But for our own context here, we say five represent what?
Ministry.
So there are five. There are five wise ministry. And there are five what? Foolish ministry.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now let me ask you a very simple question. What makes a person wise? Tell me. Can anyone tell me what makes somebody wise? What would show me that you are wise? What? What will make someone wise? In your own thinking.
Knowing what to do and doing it.
Do you think that the normal man who is not wise can know what to do and do it? Are you following me? So what makes somebody wise? Who knows what to do and doing it? What would? Because any other person can know what is good to be done and he does it. So what makes a man wise? Understanding what? Oh, you sound too end time. Amen. Yes. Attitude. Yes. Yes.
When you have knowledge and understanding of what you're doing and your obedience.
Okay. Because we are writing on what he has said now.
Uh-huh.
Praise God. What he has said is not wrong, though. I'm not saying it's wrong. Are you with me? Yes. Bro. Eh? Oh, before we get to the oil. He says it's the oil. We agree it's the oil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He knows what to do and doing it. But he's doing the adding extra. Something that is different from what other people are doing. He's adding something. There is something extra he's adding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me illustrate it with
scripture.
You know, he talked about one man. He called him, we know the story, as a prodigal son. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The man went astray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Took all his father's good and all the blessings and trouble. And he went there and he squandered it. When he has finished squandering it, one day suddenly he realized. And he woke up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he returned to his father. When he came back to himself, he came back to his father. And told his father that, oh father, you see, I have done very, very wrong things. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, have mercy on me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the father went and did what? Huh? He had a feast. He said, kill the father's cow. Change his raiment. Hallelujah. Just fit the story within what we have been saying about garment, about feast. Are we together?
Yeah.
But there was one of his son, the elder son, was in the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What did he do? He sat there and began to do what?
grumble, complain. That's me. Look at me now. I didn't do
anything.
Between two of them now, who is wise? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He did something that ordinarily some of us will end up where we went to. He came back. He swallowed his pride. Where he went to, he went through pain. He ate pig's food. He was terrible. But he did something extra. He woke up one day and said, I'm going to return. Hallelujah. And when he returned, his father embraced him. But the other man, in other words, if you reverse the role, that man would have not done the same thing. In fact, his own case was even worse. Hallelujah. There are many scriptures that show you that God is saying that the wise are those who are going for extra. Are those who are going the extra mile. When others are on the level of normal. What Mani calls it normal Christianity. Some people are going higher. They are going deeper. They are going the extra mile. The five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. Normal. They had the same thing. They had lamp oil in their lamps. The Bible says that the spirit of man is what? The lamp. Hallelujah. And in that lamp, they had, that is common salvation. They are both saved. They are both living in holiness, walking in righteousness. Hallelujah. All those things that, hallelujah, they are both of them are doing it. The two groups were doing it. But the five wise went the extra mile. And what the extra mile? There is something called vessel. Amen. The wise, five wise, had oil also in their what? Vessel. Now, here, lamp speaks about the spirit. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes.
Good. The vessel here speaks about what? The soul. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming.
Oh, Jesus is coming.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there are two types of coming. Right now, there is a coming. There is the one that all eyes will do what? Shall see him. Is it not so? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But there is a coming that is going on now. And the coming that is going on now is the marriage feast that is going on. It's the wedding feast that is going on. Are we together? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the more we partake in this wedding, there is a coming down right into the vessel. As we partake in this wedding, more oil is being released into the vessel. Because oil in the lamp is already a settled matter. It's already settled. It is given. You cannot have oil in your vessel without first of all having oil in your lamp. God is expecting you and I to go for more oil in our vessels. Because his coming is coming to the vessel. Hallelujah. He is coming to the soul. He is coming to establish his throne upon the
soul.
Right now, something is usurping that place. It says the abomination that maketh what? desolate is upon this vessel. That is coming, that is where he is coming. He's coming to take hold of the soul. He's coming to establish his throne upon the soul. Amen. So the five wise virgins are those that went beyond the normal Christianity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, but he said, the five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. He said, why the bridegroom tarried? Hallelujah. The bridegroom is tarrying. He is waiting. And I can tell you it is purposeful. The bridegroom is tarrying. The bridegroom is tarrying. The bridegroom is waiting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is, the word tarry means to delay. He is delaying at his coming. Brother, that I can tell you, he can decide to come at any time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That decision is left to him alone. But I can tell you also, there are indications that are taking place showing us when he's coming. The things that are happening right now are telling us that it is very near. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, what manner of persons ought you to be? While he is delaying, that's the time we should be hastening up. That's the time when we should be working harder. That's the time what we should be doing to make sure that we get all that is required of us so that we can meet the bridegroom in case he suddenly says he's coming now. You know, some carnal Christians say, Lord, please don't come now. Hallelujah. Please don't come now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bro, OS has ridden Mercedes. Me, I never ride. He said, make him come now. You should wait until I have ridden Mercedes like Brother OS. Oh, I never built house. He said, make him come. Hallelujah. That he should suspend his coming until you have finished your own project. Hallelujah. Canality. I'm telling you, I heard Christians say that. But God will not wait for you. Go on with your project. He says that day that some will be marrying and be given to what? Marriage. Some will be carrying their business as normal. And the day will come upon them suddenly as a thief in the night. Don't be caught up with that. Brethren, I'm by the Spirit of God giving you a charge. He said, you see this word? He told a man, he said that if you need to survive, he said that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. Whether you are in the bus, whether you are in the car, whether you are at home, hallelujah, get this word inside. Whether you are sleeping, did you hear what I said? My wife plays. Sometimes I said, just reduce the volume of that thing so that I can sleep. But gradually I'm getting used to it. While she's sleeping, she puts it on, and it works because is a spirit. The word of God is a spirit. It penetrates while you are asleep. So day and night, that was what he told. He said, meditate upon it. What? When? Day and night. That if you want to be successful. Okay, let us talk about the success and the prosperity. He wasn't making reference to your passing exam. Successful is not making reference to your ability to amass wealth and build houses, and so that when they see you, they say, Brother Oduaki is doing well. He's a successful man. That is very, very far from what God is saying. Hallelujah. He's saying that if you want to be successful in marrying the bridegroom, that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Hallelujah. If you want to prosper, hallelujah. He's not talking about prosperity. He's talking about the prosperity of your soul. He said that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospereth. Hallelujah. So then, if you want prosperity, he says, get this word, let it dwell richly in you in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. That is what he was saying. Amen. Get this word, brethren. Play Bible day and night. Listen to the messages. Play them back. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to Brother Sessi's message. Something he preached in 1973. It's as if he's talking about what is happening to us today. I've been feeding on it. Hallelujah. The things he said about fasting, I followed them and it worked. The things he said about my emotion, when something inside of you rears up, when that agaba spirit rears up that wants you to break bottle or hit someone. The things he said, his own testimony that I listened to delivered me. Hallelujah. His own actions, how he reacted to the situations, I believed it in my heart and it worked for me. Get the word of God. Get the testimony of the people of God. Listen to them and they are going to bring deliverance to you in your own day of temptation. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says that five were foolish. That while the bridegroom delayed, they slumbered and they slept. A lot of slumbering. A lot of sleeping. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And look at verse 6. He says, and at midnight. Oh, hallelujah. At midnight. Brethren, midnight is coming. Midnight is coming. And God is saying that the bride must make herself ready. Because there is a cry that is being made. And that cry is saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He said, go ye out to meet him. Are you going out to meet the bridegroom? Are you paying the price that ought to be paid to meet the bridegroom? How much are you going forth? What are you doing? What preparations are you making? Is there oil in your vessel? Oh, there must be oil in your vessel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you one of those who are running up and down, going from one place to another, looking for oil in this hour? Hey, going to the wrong places where you cannot find oil. Hallelujah. But the wise prepare themselves. And when the bridegroom came, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Is your lamp being trimmed? Is there a sharpness in the spirit? Is there a quickening in your spirit? Is there a motivation that comes by the spirit? What is happening to your spirit? Is your spirit damp? Is it damp? Or is it rising and being quickened? Is it responding to the voice of the bridegroom? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Is your lamp being trimmed? Are there correction coming to you? Are there rebukes coming to you? To trim your lamp. Or you are walking in the excesses of your mind. And nobody is able to bring correction and rebuke to you. You are walking anyhow you like. You are the master of your own life. And you feel you can function in that which God is saying. There must be a trimming of the lamp. Your lamp must be trimmed. Your lamp must be put under control. So that the flame can burn. That it can burn bright and clear in this hour. Hallelujah. There must be a trimming. Hallelujah. There must be a discipline that comes by the Spirit. God will not have virgins that are indisciplined. He will not have people who lose control of their mind. He will not have people who lose control of character. Hallelujah. He said, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. In this hour there is no begging. Hallelujah. What I get it for myself. The salvation is for me. My God.
Hallelujah.
My God. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. Brethren, what we get for our soul is for us. The overcoming you get is for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can only look at your life and let your life challenge me. So go and work at my own emotion. I don't know whether you understand. I cannot share that experience with you. I cannot cut what my overcoming in the emotion and give to you. It is not possible. It cannot work. What you can get is what the testimony that comes out of my overcoming. You can look at that and you believe that it is possible. Oh, that it is possible for a man to overcome anger. That it is possible for a man to overcome fornication. That it is possible for a man to overcome sexual perversion. That it is possible for a man to forget, for overcome disobedience. That it is possible. You can believe it in your heart. And when believing is the first port of call. He said, a man believed, Abraham believed, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The working out of that comes by experience. Hallelujah. Oh, no, so to Hallelujah. Is that back? The wise answer saying, not so. It is not so. We cannot share this oil. We cannot share this experience. We cannot give it to you. It is not even enough for me. I want to overcome the more. I want to overcome anger the more. I want to be a dead man when they provoke me. I want to answer them nothing. Hallelujah. Proto Shalamai. He said, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Oh, those that are ready. Brethren, the word this afternoon is readiness. How ready are you? How ready are you to meet the bridegroom? For he has made all provision available for this marriage. He has made all things available for this union. He has made all things available to walk, for the bride to walk upon her own path. Hallelujah. He says that as they went in, the door was shut. And I pray that the door will not be shut against any of us here this afternoon. But there will be a quickening in our heart and in our spirit to begin to prepare ourselves and get ourselves ready. And finally, I go to Revelation chapter 19. Hallelujah. Because that shows us clearly, it shows us clearly what is going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. And indeed, what is happening even now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a large singing. There was a rejoicing. Hallelujah. There's a worshiping that is going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It gives us a picture. Hallelujah. Of what is going to happen. How it will look like. Hallelujah. Or how it looks like even now. He said, after these things, I had a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, hallelujah, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Hallelujah. Great rejoicing of many people. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, I want to tell you, there are many people. Hallelujah. Amen. Not just this local assembly, there are many people scattered all over the world who are hearing the word you are hearing right now, and they are preparing, and they are making themselves ready as a bride will prepare herself to meet the bridegroom. So you are not alone. So this gospel doesn't seem to be, hallelujah, something that is just exclusive to a group of people. God, he said, what I say to one, I do what? I say to all. He said to as many as that are opening up to him by the Spirit. And as we speak right now, he is sounding the same trumpet in Islamic countries. And many of them are hearing this word. And they are turning unto him. He is visiting them. He is telling them, I am he that was and is to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Then again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat upon the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah. This is what is going on in the heavens. This is what is going to unfold. When the bride unites with the bridegroom, he said, a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He said, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor and for him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. The marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife had made herself ready. Hallelujah. And he said to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Clean. Clean. And white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Amen. I said to you, these are the true saints of God. Hallelujah. He said, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You are blessed that you are called to this marriage supper. Hallelujah. Would you give heed to this call? Would you respond to making yourself ready? He says that the wife, the bride, must make herself ready. What are you doing to get yourself ready? What is the extra thing you are doing to get extra oil in your vessel? You must be doing something. May God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we sing this song? When the cry is made at the midnight hour, would you be ready? Hallelujah. When the cry is made at the midnight hour, who will be? Be ready, Lord. Let as groom comes, looking for his bride, we will be. Oh, be ready, Lord.
Hallelujah.